Hello, and good afternoon or good morning. My name is Mike Young. I'm with the Whitestone Fellowship, and I'd like to welcome you to our daily podcast today. Our subject is three main things you should really know. And please note as we go forward that I use page links in lieu of footnotes and citations and references. These links also give important details regarding statements and references in this article, and I urge you to please use them. Let's begin. Whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, and whether you like it or not, there's three urgent things I believe that everyone needs to know. There should be no doubt that, number one, God exists. Number two, there's a plan for all humanity, the earth, the heavens, in fact, the entire cosmos. And number three, everything is going according to plan. That is God's plan. And you are included in the plan, whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, and whether you like it or not. If you scoff at these three main things, then scoff if you must. But it would serve us all well, it would serve you well, to take a close look and seriously investigate what's being presented here. Number one, God exists. There was a time when, in its infancy, science was compatible with religion. And when I speak of religion in this article, I'm referring to Christianity. Of course, it was inevitable with the passage of time that certain influential atheists would become influential scientists, which is what has happened. And their science would be defined and framed by their humanist idealism, imagination, and secular humanist worldview. That is to say that since their conviction is or was that there is no God, they would concurrently see the world and the universe and the cosmos strictly as a natural occurrence. By the way, I have heard it said that it takes faith to believe in God, but it takes exponentially more faith to believe that everything that exists came from nothing and randomly evolved into precision, the precision. And that defies all reason, all logic, and all science. All of this by chance, all existence, has just been a series of serendipitous events. That takes faith. There was a period of about 175 years that America was considered a Christian nation. However, the Christian America thesis would be sidelined after the Scopes trial of 1925. And then it would find a new yet brief life in the 1970s. It continued to be a burning issue to today, and those who now argue that America was founded on a Christian nation have inherited, even though, a long and consistent tradition. Then in June 2006, the then-President Barack Obama stated in a prepared speech, quote, that America is no longer a Christian nation. At least not just, which marked a dividing line in America. It was also in the 19th century that pair-structured phrases like religion and science and religion first emerged in literature. This coincided with the refining of science from the studies of natural philosophy and of religion as distinct concepts in preceding few centuries, partly due to professionalism of the sciences, the Protestant Reformation, perhaps, maybe colonization assisted it, and of course, globalization. Since then, the relationship between science and religion has been characterized in terms of conflict, harmony, complexity, mutual independence, among other things. There's a link here for Wikipedia if you'd like to read further on that. It's also interesting that these humanist atheist scientists found it expeditious to use the language of the Bible as academic stepping stones to sell their new scientific idealism to succeeding generations, Christian generations, effectively separating God and science in the public mind and coining a new term, creationism, a victory for atheists perhaps, and humanists perhaps, but a sad acquiescence on the part of Christian apologists and theologians followed. As an example, you can watch this short video, just pick your spots, Carl Sagan on the cosmos, titled, It's Only Sacred Truth. A second one by Carl Sagan is titled Cosmos, the Stars, We Are Their Children, as a means of seeing how they've hijacked Christian ideas and terms to promote their agenda. Only recently have a few notable Christian apologists offered a sound public rebuttal, which may have galvanized the believers or the beliefs of the faithful, but has done little to do the damage to public perception caused by the what I'll call Saganists. Damage which has obscured the truth of scriptures and has reached inside the Christian church and community in depth. These two men are Ken Ham, and his organization is named Answers in Genesis, and you can click that link to review that. The other is Del Tackett, and he's a narrator of a series or a movie called Is Genesis History. Both very good. Is Genesis History movie is very informing. I recommend that strongly. Next, let's just consider the odds. In case you have been unduly influenced by the Saganist of science, let me present you with a case in favor of the fact that God does exist. The Bible states, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Now this is a case in favor, which comes from the Bible out of Isaiah 7:14. In another place in Isaiah 9:6, the Bible says, for us, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. This was foretold in scriptures thousands of years before it actually came to pass. So imagine these odds. 1 to 10 to the 157th power. It's a number too large, really, to comprehend, but I put it on this page for you to see all the zeros. And these are the odds against, yes, against Jesus Christ having been sent by God, born, lived on earth, and fulfilled just 48 of the over 450 prophecies written about him. And in order to give you some perspective on this number, consider the electron. Electrons are very small objects. They're smaller than atoms. It would take 2.5 times of 10 to just the 15th power of these electrons laid side by side to make 1 inch. Even if we counted 250 of these electrons every minute and counted day and night, it would still take 19 million years to count a line of electrons just 1 inch long. Read that again. Why is it important? It's significant because it gives us evidence that the Bible is true and correct when it says that Christ Jesus came to earth and is the Savior of the world. The odds are too astounding, too impossible for it not to have happened. Just think about it. A scientific and mathematical impossibility that has come to pass has come to life. And by the way, it gives you evidence, if you choose to pay attention, that your life can be eternal and with the only life source, which gives us peace, safety, security, joy, and fulfillment in the universe. And it's the only one the universe has ever known and ever will know. Number two, there is a plan. The Bible, when read as a whole, reveals an amazing narrative reaching back in time to creation and extending in time to the conclusion of time and then a rebirth of all things. The logical question I would ask is, can you prove it? So I'll rely on one source and then refer to another to validate my point. The one source is the Bible. The Bible lays out God's complete plan from creation through the end of the age and into the creation of a new heaven and a new earth. He is or has a plan of perfection, a plan of perfecting. God is perfecting all who would believe and follow Jesus in humble submission in preparation for us to live with him and worship him and to rule with him in all eternity. Most theologians and Bible apologists will outline the Bible by giving a book-by-book topical overview and detail of events contained in the individual books, which is probably the very best way to study the entire Bible. However, When you consider that the Bible, using the New American Standard Version as an example, it contains 782,515 words, composing 31,103 verses and 1,189 chapters in 66 books written by 40 authors over a span of 1,500 years. And further complicating the matter, there are about 50 mainline versions of the Bible, not counting revisions. So it's easy to see how one could fail to see the forest for the many trees of words, verses, chapters, and recorded events. Of course, the forest is the entire work of the Bible, which is a straight line from beginning of creation to the end of all things, and then into a new creation. Next, the journey to perfection. If you'll patiently walk with me, I'll take you on an amazing journey to the beginning of time, through the beginning of time. Recorded world and biblical histories will identify the important past Bible prophecies and correlate them with actual past world events. Then we'll compare both prophecies and histories to one specific prophecy known as Daniel's 70 weeks. There's a link for that if you want to click over to the Bible reference, which will bring us to current events and the final epoch of time known by various names, such as the last days, the end of the age, and the latter days, and the tribulation, which we are now unfolding, unfolding these prophecies with frightening accuracy. I won't stop there, however. I will conclude by laying out a successful response to these events and a plan of action by which you can both survive and thrive in these final days. You'll find it's contained in a book at the end of this article. Finally, there's an event coming which is so fantastic as to be unbelievable. I'll show evidence leading to the event known as the rapture, and I'll even help you calculate the odds of its occurrence if you like. You will then be faced with the most monumental decision, I believe, that you have ever faced. Next is the purpose of God's eternal plan, that is perfection. He is maturing and perfecting us, his people, into his image, ultimately to live in perfect harmony with him and with one another in a new and perfect heaven and earth. Hebrews 10:14 tells us, because by a single offering, he has made perfect for all time those who are being sanctified. Excuse me. Each and every chapter, verse, and word in the Bible, when viewed within this context of God's eternal plan of perfection, begin to make perfect sense. This journey is not an easy one. In fact, it is impossibly difficult. It is something only God could do and only God could accomplish. And as difficult as it is, and at times terror-filled, it's also filled with purpose, with a glorious end. The purpose of Daniel's 70 weeks, sixfold plan. The prophecy of Daniel's 70 weeks contains a statement concerning God's sixfold purpose in bringing these events we've talked about to pass. Verse 24 in Daniel 9 says this: the purpose is to finish the transgression, that is, to end man's rebellion toward God. And number two, to put an end to sin, and that is to bring an end to sin. Number three is to atone for wickedness, that is, to make amends or reparation for wickedness. Number four is to bring everlasting righteousness, and that is the quality of being morally right or justifiable. And number five is to seal up vision and prophecy, and that is to confirm these prophetic visions, is what that means. And finally, number six is to anoint the most holy, that is to anoint or confer divine or holy office upon, in this case, the Holy One Jesus. Notice that the results of the sixfold purpose concern the total eradication of sin and the establishment of righteousness, okay? The prophecy of the 70 weeks summarizes what happens before Jesus sets up his millennial kingdom. And there's a link to the millennial kingdom if you care to read about that. And then finally, number three, everything is going according to plan to date. The world has entered the final epoch of time, known by various names such as the last days, the end of the age, and latter days, and I have links on these for you to look at. Also known as the tribulation period, which was marked by the birth of Jesus. There are reportedly visible and observable signs and ancient writings to help you. However, most people don't recognize the signs or writings or won't believe. And even those who believe these prophecies are coming to pass and see the signs, few know what they're seeing or leading to and what to do in response. I hope to help you with that. The best description of the purpose, length, and outcome of this end time, variously known as times of distress, the tribulation with a small t, and then the great tribulation with a capital T. Those are three distinct periods of the tribulation. Here's a Bible outline of the seals broken up to this very day. I'll do Revelation in a green or teal cover as corresponding to the same verses you find in the book of Matthew in Jesus' words in chapter 24. The first tribulation seal talks about global conquest and political intrigue. You can click the links to go to the verses. This seal was broken around AD 1, sometime between 81 and AD 95, and is overlapping seals 2 through 5 and is intensifying. Seal number 2, the second tribulation seal, speaks of wars and rumors of wars. And now this seal, again, was broken around AD 1 to AD 95, is overlapping seals 1 and 3 and through seal 5 and is intensifying. The third tribulation seal speaks of famines. The fourth tribulation seal speaks of death on the earth. The fifth tribulation seal speaks of martyrs, persecution, the Antichrist, and falling away. And again, all of these seals have been broken previously between the years of AD 1 to AD 95. They are overlapping one another and intensifying as the last days draw near. This is clear. There is clear and convincing, I say staggering testimonies of the evidence that the last days begin in or around AD 1 through AD 95. And click this link to find that evidence. It's testimonies from apostles and Jesus himself. And the tribulation seals 1 through 5 have been progressively open, and as I've said, are overlapping and intensifying to this very day. We now stand on the at the precipice of the opening of the sixth tribulation seal, which will trigger the beginning of a period known as the Great Tribulation, or the Great and Terrible Day of the Lord and the Wrath of the Lamb, which will continue with the breaking of the seventh tribulation seal, then the blowing of the seven tribulation trumpets through the pouring out of the seven tribulation vials or bowls. The opening of the sixth tribulation seal, however, is the beginning of the final 7 years of tribulation, known as the Great Tribulation. The sixth tribulation seal speaks of cosmic disturbances, a blood moon, darkened sun, a sealing of 144,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel, the rapture, and the multitude before the throne of God after the tribulation and the rapture. Also in Matthew 24:21, Revelation 2:22, and Revelation 7:14, you can see words about the wrath of the Lamb. And in Revelation 6:16, you'll find a reference to Daniel 12:1. Please use the links. And finally, you are included. Whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you like it or not, you're included in God's plan. Listen to this quote. And the Son of Man, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them. This is you and me and every other person who has ever lived on this earth to that day. He'll separate us from one another, just as a shepherd separates a sheep from the goats. Now, in this metaphor, we read further that, and he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, that being God, come you who are blessed by my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. As for the goats, he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you accursed people, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for you, the devil and his angels. These on my left hand will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous on my right hand to eternal life. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. Dear friends, we get one chance at this. The Bible says, and just as it is destined for people to die once, and after that will come judgment. Hebrews 9, 27. But 2 Peter 3, 9 tells us that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It's For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Romans 10, 9 through 10. Now it's up to you. Choose wisely. Your brother and friend, Mike Young. I offer you a book, a short book, named The Journey to Perfection. It's a brief, abbreviated study from beginning to end and beyond. I also would recommend Revelation chapter 12, an article. It's a prophetic panorama of the birth of Jesus to Armageddon, the final battle on earth. And finally, a book on when did small t tribulation begin. I hope these bless you. I thank you for staying with me and for visiting this site. Be blessed. Amen.